Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and also my co-host, Elder Ryan Fountain, who is our historian, and Elder David Clifton. We're your co-hosts on today, and we thank God that we're able to be here one more time to declare the word of the Lord. We know, like the Bible said, that the people is grass, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So thank God for His word. There's nothing like the word of God. So what a blessing it is to be able to impart unto you that living word. Nothing like it. And we have been in the book of 1 Corinthians here the last week we started that. We thank God that we able to keep running with this message. As we started off beginning of the year when we started the first 3 weeks with the Godhead. Then we went to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, all 28 chapters, verse by verse. Then we were able to go through the book of Romans, which is a letter that was written, Paul's masterpiece, that was written to the people of God who are already saved. As with all these other epistles, they are written to the church, knowing that you got to go through Acts if you want to get the born-again experience that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. So we have launched off into the book of Corinthians. So we're going to do a little recapping today on 1 Corinthians. We've done the first two chapters on last week. We know you never can tell it all. I used to have a saying when I did prison ministry, I'm going to tell as much as I can whenever I get a chance. And so that's the way it is with God's word. When you sit down, when you're preaching the word, or when you're teaching the word, when you finish up a testimony, you think of all the things you should have said, and you could have said, and you would have said, because you can't exhaust the word of the Lord. So with that, we're going to do our food for thought, Elder David Clifton, and then we're going to move on with our historian and the person of Elder Ryan Fountain. So receive Elder David Clifton at this time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Just real briefly, I just want to give you something to think on, and you know, I can tell you all that I know who Michael Jordan is. You know, I can tell you that he played for the Bulls, and I can give you stats and tell you he was one of the greatest basketball players in NBA history. I can tell you who Denzel Washington is. I can name off movies that he played in, and I can tell you that he's one of the well-known black actors known in Hollywood in these days. But I've never met either one of these men, so, you know, I know things about them, but I haven't met them and I don't have a relationship with them. My point being is there's a lot of people in the land that know who Jesus is. They know the story of Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of mankind, and they can tell you, you know, different stories that they may have heard of. But my question to you is, have you met Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? So, you know, I would just like you all to think on that. And if you have not met him, if you do not have a relationship with him, I encourage you to do so. And the way to begin that relationship is by obeying Acts 2:38. That's something that we quote here a lot. Amen. Elder Fountain.
Amen. Also, to put food for thought, I want to add on to what coming and meeting Jesus. He said in the 19th chapter of Matthew, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not.
Yeah.
You have to bring your children to meet God also,
right.
And you have to teach them the way of righteousness.
Yeah.
You can't let others compromise what you believe in. You can't let others discourage you from teaching your children about the ways of God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let people come into your mind, because that's a trick of the enemy. It's one of the things that Pharaoh tried to do to keep the children of Israel from going out of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the place in Egypt represented bondage or sin,
yeah,
in that time. So sin will try ways to keeping you bound, keeping you under bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that he tried to do that, one, he tried to tell them not to go too far. Don't go too far into holiness. Don't go too far into the church. Two, he tried to keep their livestock. Leave your cattle, leave,
yeah,
your sheep behind. That's their money. That's their livelihood. That's their offerings. So don't take your offering to church. Don't give them no money, because all they're doing is trying to suck you dry.
Yeah.
That's another tactic that's used. And the third tactic that was used, don't take your children. Leave the children here. Because that was a way for their heart to come back into sin and into bondage. If you don't take your children out there, it's a way to overthrow the next generation, because they were never taught the ways of God,
right,
and how God wanted worship.
Amen.
So suffer the little children to come unto Jesus. Teach them about who Jesus is. And you can learn together. Amen?
Amen.
And bring them to church. And with that being said, we can move right into the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, last week we talked about the first two chapters. But before we move on to the third chapter, we want to go back and just give a little background of the city and of this church that was established by the Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle Paul indeed did establish this church. We read about it in the 18th chapter of Acts. He established it on his second missionary journey. Corinth was one of the places where he was brought before the judgment seat. It actually had a pretty famous judgment seat in that day. He was brought before that judgment seat and was found not guilty, because it had nothing to do with Roman or Greek law. It was all Jewish law, and Romans and Greeks did not have a say in Jewish law. So they were started by the Apostle Paul, and it was about A.D. 52, around in there. So, but this city was a major crossroads, so to speak, in the Greek world, because there was a north-south road leading into mainland Greece, and it also had two major seaports crossing, so people would come in there, and it was like one of the first major stopping points when you were going into Greece. So there was a lot of different things coming through that area.
Mm-hmm.
And such, it was a place where there was a lot of false worship. They had a big major following for the goddess Aphrodite. And there was the goddess Aphrodite is a Greek goddess. If you do not know, she's a Greek goddess of love and fertility. So there was a major movement for priestesses and major women to come into the city, and there was a lot of sexual immorality going on within this city,
mm-hmm,
as deemed by the worship, and as deemed by there's a heavy prostitute population there, because it was a seaport and the men came and would stay for a couple of nights and then leave out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very profitable there. So there was a lot of immorality going on within this city, and this immorality has now got its way into the church. And now we will start to see Paul laying judgment upon this immorality. He's first talked about the divisions that have been created within this church, and he's trying to set order to these divisions. But now he's going to start making judgments because they are showing an immorality. There was even one case of a young man sleeping with his father's wife. And it's not, it doesn't say that it was his, indeed his mother. It may have been his stepmother, but
right.
It was indeed not only another man's wife, it was his father's wife,
right.
And he had very close contact with it. So we, that's the mindset that we have to understand, that this was a church that was surrounded by immorality, and they should have been shining off Jesus Christ unto those to bring them back into holiness. But they, instead of being salting the area around them, they were succumbing unto the pressures of social life within this. And I feel that it's very relevant to the church in this day,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of compromise going on within the church and succumbing to social pressures and succumbing to the outside world wanting to dictate what happens within the church,
yes.
where the church should be dictating what happens in people's lives and in the world. We should be showing, we should be a show of morality, moral excellence, so to speak, to the outside world. They should look up to us on how to live.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So with that being said, we will go on into the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Like I said, the first two chapters were talking about the divisions and talking about the separation between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. And the wisdom of God is much stronger than the wisdom of men. And the wisdom of men can never equal up to the wisdom of God.
Amen.
So starting chapter number 3, verse number 1, it says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So this church was indeed a church. Now Paul, we will talk about this, they're a very gifted church.
Yeah.
There was a lot of great gifts going on within this church,
mm-hmm.
but they did not know how to handle these gifts. Just as if you give a lot of power or give a chainsaw to a little 5-year-old, he's not going to know how to wield that chainsaw properly. And it will be a danger unto him and the others, really. So these people did not know how to handle their gifts, and Paul was putting in order how to handle their gifts. But they were as unto babes in Christ. They weren't spiritually minded. That is what a babe in Christ is. They're not really spiritually minded. They're yet thinking with their carnal mind or their fleshly mind or their natural mind. They try to naturally progress things in their head instead of just walking by faith. And that is a subject he talks about in 2 Corinthians.
Right.
But he says, I can't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now are ye able. So all this book is spiritual milk.
Mm-hmm.
The real basics of the doctrine of Christ and of how to act in Christ and of the order of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Real basic stuff. He doesn't really go into meat and the deep spiritual things as he does with churches like Colossians or with Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to redo the real basic doctrine unto them so that they will understand it and that they will be able to grow. So that they won't choke on the deep mysteries of God and walk around and kill themselves spiritually. So, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? So now, Apollos we talked about him earlier in the book of Acts.
Yes.
Apollos was a very eloquent speaker.
Yes.
He was a man of many enticing words. Paul said, "I didn't come to unto you with enticing words." So there was a division. There was a man that came sent by God. They actually, both men were sent by God. Let me back up. They were both sent by God, but one spoke in plainness of speech. One spoke with a little more education because he was grown up in Alexandria, which was a very learned place, and it had a very great library, so he had a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom. So the Greeks tended to go more towards that way of teaching and way of preaching because they were wanting knowledge, and they were wanting the knowledge of men.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said it doesn't really make a difference who's preaching unto you as long as it's God,
right.
God's word that is being preached unto you. So the vessel is not what's important. The word that is coming out of that vessel is what is important. He says in verse 6, "I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man should receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building."
Yes. And I think a good point there would be like unto a football team or a basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
One goal that the team has in mind, like they say, we want to get a W.
Yeah.
We want to get a
Amen.
Win. We're not worried about who get the credit.
Amen.
That's not the way they were thinking.
Amen. So that they're, and let's go along with that analogy.
Mm-hmm.
They're just players on the team.
Right.
It's God's team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is God's work.
Right.
This is God's building. With everything that the way we are today is because God allowed us to be,
mm-hmm.
such as the grace that he gave us.
Amen.
Right. Let me say this. Forgot to give our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is, if you want to call us or you have a comment or you got a question, 646-716-6566. To my Facebook listeners.
Amen.
Amen. So now, we are God's building. We are what God built us up. And how did God build us up? Through the ministry of men.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ministry of godly men. Amen. So that is very key. It has to be a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why he worked through Paul was because he was a godly man. And the reason why he worked through Apollos is because he was also a godly man.
Yes.
So the way that God people are built up is through the ministry of godly men. The gospel has always been carried by men.
Yes.
By man's hands. Amen. That's why he couldn't preach unto Paul when he came into Damascus, because Paul saw him face to face. But Paul had to wait for Ananias because a man had to come unto him. Cornelius couldn't. The Holy Ghost appeared unto Cornelius and spoke with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't preach the gospel unto Cornelius because it wasn't a gospel that was to be preached by a spirit, to be preached by an angel. A man had to come unto him. They had to send for Peter to come preach the gospel unto him. So this is what he's saying, that the laborers, we're just laborers, but we are laborers sent by God.
Yes.
To handle his work.
Mm-hmm.
And to build up his building.
Mm-hmm.
He's contracting us. Amen?
Yeah.
He's contracting his ministers to build up his building, build up his people. And we are to do a good work. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and let another buildeth thereon. So the reason why Paul was able to lay the foundation is because he was an apostle. The foundation was laid upon the apostles and the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So all the apostles laid the foundation. They laid out the doctrine because they wrote the New Testament.
Right.
And they showed the basic groundwork of what we should do as Christians. Then another buildeth on. That is where Apollos comes in. He buildeth upon the foundation that Paul laid.
Yeah.
Because who taught Apollos? Aquila and Priscilla taught Apollos, but they came straight out of Paul's camp.
Yeah.
So really, when Apollos was taught by Aquila and Priscilla, he was being taught by Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He got the same teaching that Paul got.
Yes.
Amen. So that is how he was able to build upon it, and it was a seamless build.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be different contractors building upon, but they should be building upon and looking down at that foundation and still keep focus on that. Amen?
Yeah. So then you are implying then that there was 12 apostles.
Mm-hmm.
They all helped with the foundation. Now, if the foundation is the doctrine, does that then mean that they should all be speaking and teaching the same thing? Those 12 brothers that laid the foundation?
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yes.
That they all speak the same thing. That's what he told them at the very beginning
of
the book.
1 and 10, 1 Corinthians, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing,
mm-hmm.
that there be no divisions among you,
mm-hmm.
but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
And borrowing from another book, he says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, these 12 men, although they were 12 different men, they had the same mind. Why did they have the same mind? Because they believed in the same Christ that taught them all.
Yes.
They had the same exact doctrine because they were taught all by the same person who was the God of glory wrapped up in flesh.
Amen.
So they all had direct revelation from God, and it did not vary among them.
Mm-hmm. Now, were they saying anything different from Jesus? Now, you know, and we hear some people that will have this implication or this saying that they would rather listen or do what something that Jesus said do
mm-hmm.
versus do what the apostles said to do.
Yeah.
So did Jesus teach something different than the apostles?
And I think we've talked about this before, but let's go over it again. The book of Hebrews, 2nd chapter, 3rd verse, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first, it first began to be spoken by the Lord?
Yeah.
So the Lord spoke it first and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him.
Yeah.
Who heard him? His apostles.
Yeah.
The 12. They heard everything that he had to say. They were there from the beginning.
Yeah.
God bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So these men just were speaking the same things that Jesus spoke to them.
Amen.
Let me go to St. Luke, and we talked about this. We talked about this many times when we were Elder Cannon read the scripture off many times when we were in the book of Acts. He said in let's start at verse number 44. He said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you,
mm-hmm.
that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me.
Yeah.
Now, this is Jesus Christ. If you have a red letter Bible, this is in plain red letters. This is Jesus Christ speaking unto the 11. Because Judas Iscariot had been killed, or he killed himself, hung himself, so there was only 11 apostles at this time. He said, in verse 45, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. What scriptures? The Old Testament scriptures. There were no New Testament scriptures. The New Testament scriptures weren't written till 30, 40 years after this statement. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Amen.
Who was supposed to preach this message? The apostles.
Yeah.
And they did preach this message beginning on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached the first message unto them. He said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He preached repentance, he preached remission of sins, and he preached the Holy Ghost
Amen.
Unto them. ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So these men all preached the same thing because they were endued with the same power from on high. This is how they were able to speak the same things.
Yeah. And see, everybody may not be as eloquent in the scriptures or break it up or make it plain as some.
Mm-hmm.
Some may be more philosophical, but the whole thing is everybody is preaching Jesus. One
Amen.
Thing about it, everybody can tell you how to come in the door.
And I believe it's Peter that said every man preaches according to his own gifts.
Yeah.
They all had their own gifts.
Yeah,
they
he
all
said,
had
yeah,
their
he
own
said,
way.
As every man has received a gift, even so minister with the ability that God giveth.
Yes.
That God may be glorified.
Amen. Amen. So that is what every man may speak in a different manner. They may come in a different light. There's four gospels, but it's really only one gospel.
Mm-hmm.
There's four different perspectives on the
right.
same gospel,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and they saw it in different manners, and they were speaking unto different types of people.
Right.
Matthew preached unto the Jews. He wrote unto the Jews about Christ the King.
Mm-hmm.
He was the King of Jews. He did the lineage back unto David.
Right.
He did the lineage back unto Abraham. That's
mm-hmm.
where he stopped.
Right.
Mark wrote unto the Romans about Christ the servant.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke of nothing of his lineage. He spoke nothing of his birth.
Mm-hmm.
He went straight into the works.
Mm-hmm.
Luke wrote unto the Greeks about Christ the man,
mm-hmm.
because he was the nearest kinsman. He traced it all the way back unto Adam,
mm-hmm.
and talked about his frailty.
Yes.
And talked about his humanity,
mm-hmm.
and that was who he was writing unto. And John wrote about Christ, the Son of God, Christ, God come in the flesh,
yes.
Christ, the Word,
mm-hmm.
which was in the beginning. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So not only was the Word with God, the Word was God. And that Word came and manifested himself and became flesh,
mm-hmm.
and walked among his brethren for 33 and a half years. And then his brethren rejected that Word. And his brother, the brethren rejected Christ the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and hung up upon a cross. And if they had known that he was really the Christ, they would not have crucified
right.
him. But it was all according to God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
It was all according to knowledge. It's foreknowledge and all according to predestination. But that is a whole other subject. But
right.
And
then just to look at how everybody saying the same thing, some people, just like Jesus, Peter's mother-in-law was sick of a fever.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible said that Jesus came and took her by the hand, and the fever left.
Mm-hmm.
Then another one of the writers said he stood over her,
uh-huh.
and it left. And another said, you know, when he came and touched her, the fever left.
Yeah.
Everybody was saying the same thing.
Amen.
Just like the writer Mark says that Jesus got into the boat, and they went how many furlongs before they got to the other side. But John says, when Jesus got in the boat, immediately they were at the other side, whether they went.
Yeah.
So everybody was saying the same thing.
Yeah. But it's just a different perspective.
Exactly.
and a different line of sight.
Amen.
Yeah.
And some people are able to receive the word from a certain person and not able to receive it from another person just because.
Amen.
But it's all according to God's plan. Amen.
Right.
And that is the main thing. So now, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man that take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So you have to take heed of how you're building. You have to understand, first of all, the foundation that was laid. You have to understand that foundation. And this is the foundation he's laying again. They have to understand this foundation in order to build up, because if you have a weak foundation, it's all going to crumble.
That's right.
You can ask any builder out there, if the foundation is weak, the whole house is going to come tumbling down.
That's right.
So they have to take heed how they build upon the foundation. If you don't build upon the foundation correctly and in the right measurements, and you go outside of that foundation, again, you are not built upon strong ground.
Right.
You're again, it's going to topple all over. And we know in the next verse it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So what is the foundation? We know that the foundation is built upon the apostles and the prophets, but the foundation that they laid was Jesus Christ, because he's the chief cornerstone of that foundation. That means he was the first piece that was laid in that foundation, and they built the foundation around him and then upward.
Yeah.
And if you go outside of that foundation, you are not you're like a man building his house upon sand.
Mm-hmm.
And when the wind comes and when the storm comes, it's going to just blow away.
Right. Not a foundation.
And if I could, just to add on to verse 11, it's not stating that you can't go out and build another foundation from your own mind. But what it's saying is that foundation which was laid by the apostles, which were taught by Jesus, that is the foundation of what we call Christianity. And you have to have the same mind as those brothers to build upon that foundation for it to belong to Christianity, true Christianity, and for it to be truth.
Right.
There are others out there that have laid and are laying other foundations. They will try to tie it into Christianity, but as we'll read on, we'll find out about the work of those that have been called by God and those that have not been called by God. So there are others out there teaching other things that have not been taught by the apostles, which was taught by Jesus Christ. And it may seem like it is of this foundation, but it is not.
Right.
So I just wanted to clarify that there are people out there that are building up things, and it may seem very magnificent. It may seem that it's very prosperous and very strong, but all it takes is for the right storm to come their way, and that foundation can and will be knocked down, if you will.
And let me add on to that. The foundation that was started by the apostles and the prophets, we know that the foundation is Jesus Christ. But if the foundation was not started upon the day of Pentecost, when the apostles first started preaching this gospel message of repentance and remission of sins, you are not on the right foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Any other foundation before that is the wrong foundation.
Right.
Any other foundation after that is the wrong foundation. You have to have the 50th day foundation.
Right.
That is when the foundation began.
Right.
So if you heard a gospel that was preached on the 49th day, that's not the gospel that's in this day.
Right.
If you have a gospel that was preached on the 51st day, that is not the same foundation. Our foundation began on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached unto those Jews. He then laid the same foundation unto the Samaritans in the 8th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
He then laid the same foundation unto the Gentiles in the 10th chapter. It's all the same foundation,
mm-hmm.
but he's spreading it out, and that is the message that was preached.
Amen.
So the message that was preached by Constantine in 325 A.D., that's not the foundation that this church is laid upon.
Right.
That's Constantine's foundation.
Right.
The church that Joseph Smith preached in the 1800s,
mm-hmm.
I believe in 1812, around there, that is not the foundation.
Amen.
That is not the foundation that the apostles built upon. That's his foundation.
Mm-hmm.
That's his foundation that he found speaking to Moroni in the Catskill Mountains.
Yeah.
That's when that foundation began.
Right.
The same thing with Charles Taz Russell, with the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
His
so-called
foundation began in the 1800s also.
Mm-hmm.
So that is 1800 years after the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
We know that the day of Pentecost happened in 30 A.D. So we have to understand that the foundation was laid by the apostles on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
And if your religion can't trace its roots back unto the day of Pentecost,
mm-hmm.
you are not in true religion. As James put it, you're not in pure religion, I should say. And you are laid upon a man's beliefs and a man's teaching.
Amen.
A man.
Right.
Not 12 men.
Right.
Not the 12 men that built our foundation.
Amen.
And if you look at most other religions, they were built by one man only. It wasn't a conglomeration of 12 men
like we had. Right.
And there's checks and balances in there.
And the good thing about history books or encyclopedias or even now as we have the internet, all you have to do is take whatever denomination, if you will, you belong to, and simply plug it in and Google it, and you can find the search. These names that Elder Fountain just named off,
yeah.
These are the single men that are behind the Mormons and the Jehovah Witness. You can even find for Church of God in Christ, all these religions. You just trace the history. It's not kidding. You can find it, and it will all go back to a man, not the 12 that we are speaking of here. And that's the point. You have to know and understand what you are a part of. And that's one of the reasons Paul, he's breaking this down, and he's trying to let them know where they belong, because he's talking to them as babe, as newborn Christians. He's letting them know. He's giving them the basics. And a lot of times some people come to church and they try to skip over the basics, and they want to get into all the, you know, the speaking in the tongues and the prophecy and the healing of the sick and all these things that Paul's going to deal with later, and they don't have a foundation. They don't have any knowledge of the foundation. They want to skip to all the glorious things, if you will, but they are unlearned as far as what the foundation of true Christianity is. So, we admonish you all out there to trace your roots, if you will, and find out if what you are believing in was made up by men that are not a part of the 12 that were taught directly by Jesus Christ. And if you are a part of that group, you need to rethink your religion, if you will, and you need to get yourself into the truth. Amen?
Amen. And this is a new thing for the church which was at Corinth. This was a new thing, the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues after Pentecost. So they were like children in school. They had to have a teacher to come and teach them.
Amen.
They didn't realize what they had. Like one of our late bishops said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, he says, like getting the keys to a Learjet. He said, you have all that power, but you don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's got to guide you. And that's what the eunuch said to Philip.
How can I accept some
man
should guide me?
Except some man should guide me. So this is the way that the Lord set it up, that they're going to be taught by men, and men who already have had this. Even in the Old Testament, that's how the law was taught. He said, teach it to thy sons and to thy son's sons.
Mm-hmm.
So he's using the same analogy that he did in the Old Testament.
Amen.
So that's why he taught those men, and that was the prayer that he prayed, the priestly prayer in the 17th chapter of St. John. It says, believe on me, believe on them which shall hear them that shall believe on me through their word.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to believe on him through another man's word or through another witness who's already got this.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like our children. Sometimes they think they know more than what the parents do. Doesn't matter how old-fashioned we think they are, they know the way.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to raise us and to show us what to do
mm-hmm.
to get us up where, you know, we think we know so much
mm-hmm.
and find out we don't know what we think we know, but we got to be taught. And that's how it was with a young man that I met when I was working. He said he just go where the Spirit lead him. But no, you don't go where the Spirit going to lead you to go sit down and be taught because you can't teach yourself.
And you got to learn. And you have to be taught by somebody with wisdom. You have to be taught.
Yes.
Usually that ends up being an aged man. The problem with Rehoboam, after he took over his throne from his father Solomon, the problem that he ran into is that he took counsel from his young men, men, the guys that he grew up with,
right.
rather than the old men that came up under his father.
Mm-hmm.
And the old men were telling him to go easy on the people, but the young men were telling them that you have to drive the people and you have to be hard on them. And after he listened to his friends and after he listened to the young people, then the division in the kingdom came.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to understand, you have to be taught by somebody that has wisdom and taught by somebody that has been through the struggle.
Right.
And that is what you have to understand, that you can't just come into this thing and you know everything. But you have to be taught. Even the apostles were taught.
Yeah.
They had to be taught. So every man has been taught in this way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just come in knowing everything.
That's right.
Amen.
And one thing, we'll get back in it. One thing about babes in Christ, one ability that many of them don't possess is the difference to know a separation between good and evil. And a lot of the tactics that the enemy will use is he will make something that is evil appear to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And as a babe, you don't understand that. And
mm-hmm.
if you don't sit down and you're not instructed by the man of God,
yeah.
that's how you find yourself in trouble. So, again, that just goes along with what you know, the brothers were saying, that you have to be taught, but you also have to be careful who's teaching you, because if they're in error, then they can't correct you. The blind will lead the blind
right.
into a ditch.
You're in trouble.
So the man,
yeah.
so the man that's leading you has to spiritually be able to see the way that God has laid out. And again,
mm-hmm.
he's going to get that by following or building upon the same foundation that we're reading about here in verse number 11. Amen?
Right. Amen. So now, as you said, that there's no other foundation that can be laid. Jesus Christ is the only foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And the foundation has to be laid out by the apostles. And the apostles laid it out starting on the day of Pentecost. They preached one God. They preached repentance. They preached baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They preached receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as God gives the utterance. They preached living a holy lifestyle. They preached all of these things. There's six principles to the doctrine of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead,
and eternal
judgment. Those are the six principles. They all knew and they all taught those to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they taught. They all continued in the apostles' doctrine or teaching. So there has to be a doctrine laid out, and it has to be the doctrine that the apostles laid out.
Right.
Amen?
And we won't be saying, when you're not in error, you won't be saying, like they refer to that one man as his holiness.
Mm-hmm.
No. We all should have Jesus' holiness, not some man's holiness.
Amen.
Amen.
So, with that being said, I think we can move on. That we know that this is the foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, everyone has things that they lay upon this foundation. And some doctrines are good, some doctrines are not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Those doctrines are tried by fire. We know that the word of the Lord is fire. So, and our God is a consuming fire.
Yeah.
So, if you try somebody's doctrine and what they try to lay upon this foundation,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't add up with the word, it's going to be burned with fire. Every man should be able to build upon this foundation with truth.
Yeah.
Truth is what's going to withstand all the fire, all the tests, all the trials, all the tribulations. If you understand and follow after truth, any test, any trial that comes upon you, I know it's going to be hard. There's definitely some hard things that come your way.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing truth, truth shall stabilize you. You won't be tossed to and fro by any wind of doctrine, as he says in the Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
But you will stand because you have an anchor
mm-hmm.
in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He is going to be your stabilizer in your time of trouble. He's going to be with you in the fire. When they threw the three Hebrew men in the book of Daniel into the fiery furnace, King Nebuchadnezzar looked down and said, I thought we only threw three down. Right. I see four, and the fourth is like as of the Son of Man.
Yeah.
So Jesus will be with you in the fire.
Yeah.
He will stand with you and keep you protected. And in the end, you shall be saved.
Amen.
Amen. This is talking about people that are already saved.
Right.
He will keep you in your salvation as long as you follow after his truth.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you follow after what he wants built upon this foundation.
Amen.
And what does he want built upon this foundation? Truth. Is there anything that you want to add on to this?
Well, you were just speaking about abiding in the truth, and the truth also abided in you. And I'm just recalling when Jesus was speaking of the vine,
mm-hmm.
and how we are supposed to abide, amen, in that vine. So, you know, when you receive truth, you have to walk in that truth, and that's one thing that a lot of people don't want to bear. As you were talking about, hard times will come.
Yeah.
A lot of times, as the world will even tell you, the truth hurts. As you begin to walk with God and you get a man of God that's teaching you the way and the laws of God, there's going to be things that you are not going to like or you're not going to agree with. But if you want to stay in the truth, if you want to be saved, if you want to continue on that course, there's some things you're going to have to let go.
Yeah.
There's some things that you're going to have to turn away from.
Mm-hmm.
That decision is ultimately up to you, but it's something that we may not like all the time. There's a lot of pleasures that I had when I was out in the world. And once those things were brought to light as being evil, I had the choice to go right or left. I had the choice to stay in the truth or to walk in error.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't straddle the fence. That's one thing that we cannot do. You can't straddle the fence. You have to make your mind up and you have to say, well, this is truth. I'm going to walk in it. And you can't take something that may be called a lie and then try to take some pieces of truth that may be in it and hold on to that. No lie is of the truth.
Right.
So if it's a lie, it's 100% lie, and you shouldn't try to take anything that you perceive as being good out of that lie and try to make that a part of your walk. That is one way that false doctrine gets into the church. That's one way that a lot of error gets into the church. That's one way a lot of people fall into sin because, again, they don't have the ability to see the difference between good and evil.
Right.
And as we, you know, people say we've beaten a dead horse here when you talk about Christmas, but that horse keep waking on up, so we ought to keep on beating it until it lays down. People try to take out the good things. Oh, that's about Jesus. That's about Jesus' birthday. See, they're trying to take something that is totally 100% false and take some good things out of it to make it good. They are not abiding in 100% truth. So that's another thing about the truth, or that's another thing about the foundation. If you're going to build upon that one foundation, you have to 100% build upon that foundation in truth.
Right. Amen. And just to go along with that Christmas thing, as we said earlier, trace your roots back.
Right.
Trace the roots of Christmas back.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that Christmas, they didn't celebrate Christmas in the early church. But you know what? Christmas actually predates Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Sumerian and a Babylonian day of festival,
mm-hmm.
worshiping the sun god. If you look back in the scriptures and if you rightly divide the scriptures, you'll know that Jesus Christ, there's no way that Jesus Christ could have been born on December 25th.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the course of Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, the timelines, there's no way that it could match up that Jesus Christ was born on December 25th because John the Baptist was born 6 months ahead of Jesus Christ, and I believe John the Baptist was believed to be born around the time of December or so. So there's no way that he could have been born in December.
Mm-hmm. And also, when the angel came and visited the wise men, the shepherds were out in the field
right.
overseeing or watching over their flock.
And there's no way possible that it just doesn't happen in the wintertime that shepherds are out there with their sheep.
Amen.
The sheep are corralled at that time of year.
Right.
Amen. Well, that's, you know, it's like the, Jesus told them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little lie, you know, that Santa Claus foolishness with Rudolph and all the reindeer, and it's just garbage, and they know it. I mean, they perpetuate, and everybody, get your Christmas shopping done. I mean, some people, they buying Johnny Walker Red, wrapping it up, and all this other stuff, putting it under the tree. I mean, it's all stupid. It's all about money.
Hey.
And the retailers have a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
If they have a good payday. With that means folks come in there and buy their merchandise.
And in this day, it's all about getting consumers in the store.
Exactly.
And following after that hype.
Right.
There's nothing godly, there's nothing holy about that day.
Mm-hmm.
Your Christmas tree has nothing to do with the cross of Christ. That tree was an item of worship in Babylonian times. I believe Jeremiah talked about that false type of worship.
Yes, he did.
And it wasn't necessarily a Christmas tree, but trees were used as worship.
As worship.
Mm-hmm. And you have to understand all those things, hot cross buns, and there's many different things that happen during Christmas time that have nothing to do with Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's all paganistic worship masked by Christianity.
Yes.
When the Catholic Church came into power at the Nicene Council, 325 A.D., one of the things that they established was that the pagan day of worship, and that goes with Easter, too.
Right.
Those days were to be, even though they were turning the empire into a Christian empire, they knew that the people would not accept it if they could not have their festival days.
Mm-hmm.
So they just masked those festival days with Christian names and put Christmas images upon all of those things of worship. Why is Easter not on the same day every year? Because he rose on the Passover, he rose on the day of first fruits. So it's and that's the same day every year. I believe it's around April 17th. It's because Passover, he died on the Passover, April 15th, and he rose on, I believe that's April 17th. So we have to know that that's not truth. There's no truth in that.
There's no truth.
why would a bunny rabbit lay a chicken egg?
Right.
That's all has to do with the goddess of fertility. Esther. It's a Babylonian goddess of fertility. That has nothing to do with Christianity.
Right. And Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
And this almost, Elder Fonter, goes back to what your food for thought was in dealing with the children.
Yeah.
If you notice, these paganistic days that have crept their way into Christianity, they target, once again, your children. So it gets hard for some parents that don't want to abide in that truth because they fear what? They fear for their children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how awkward would it be when the children go back to school and they're all, you know, at recess or at lunch and they're discussing what Santa Claus brought them.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's this one child or these two childs that's being raised up in truth. They don't have anything that they can talk about because they don't believe in Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for those children to have that testimony, but it's going to be hard for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason that we have to pray for our children. But the point being is if you're going to abide in that truth and teach your children the truth, amen, you have to understand that there's going to be other ones out there that are they're constantly going to try to feed your children this lie, and it's shame on any Christian. We are to lie not one to another. We're not supposed to be telling lies, but as a Christian, you lie to your children pretty much until they get to the age when they figure out that you've been lying to them this whole time.
Right, and you can buy them something any day you want.
But
you can tell them you bought it.
Yeah.
You know, why lie and tell them a man with a red suit on did it?
With that being said, I'm not telling you can't celebrate Christmas. If you want to go celebrate Christmas, go right ahead. just know what you're celebrating.
Exactly.
Hey, if you read upon it, if you read about it and see that it's a lie, it's all based on lies, and you still want to celebrate it, hey, who am I to tell you that you can't celebrate it? But it's still a false day of worship.
Right.
And it's a test and trial that people that follow after truth have to endure.
Yes.
But we shall receive a reward.
Amen.
We can go a few more verses, and then we have to close up. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So we have to know as Christians that we are the temple of God, and that we should not let any impurities, we should not let any things defile this temple.
Mm-hmm.
The sanctuary and the tabernacle and the temple was a place of holy things, and nothing unholy or nothing to defile, unclean, should have came into that sanctuary.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when something came into that sanctuary, it had to be cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be washed. It had to be taken outside of the camp and many times burned,
mm-hmm.
many times killed. But we are the temple, and we should be able to extract all of that foolishness,
yeah.
extract all the unholiness, and keep ourselves clean and undefiled.
Right.
Because he's looking for a church that's spotless and blameless and without defilement.
Right.
He wants a holy church, and we should be able to live holy in this land.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, amen. And I think what we can do is, if we're going to leave off there, I think probably what a good thing to do is next week, to give you a preview, is deal with some things as far as spiritually. We are now, our bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, the Old Testament is filled with types and shadows. I think it'll be a good idea for us to go back and pull some references dealing with the natural temple and some things that was allowed to do in there, things that were not allowed to be brought in there.
Right.
And actually, there's an instance where two brothers actually lost their life because of what they did inside of the temple. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Right.
And that was going out of order
yeah.
of the will of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so everything had to be clean. Everything had to be in order.
Yes.
So you have to have your house in order to walk with God.
Right.
On that, I think we should be able to start to close. Is there any last thoughts that you brothers have about keeping yourselves clean, keeping yourselves holy?
No, we'll just come back and on that next week, because we know that it has to do with nowadays. That's what I said to this one sister. I said, what makes us different from everybody else is our morality.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that. You can't, like somebody said, I don't care what nobody say. Ain't nothing wrong with a little bumping and grinding. That's what the carnal man
that's
says.
The carnal
that's
man.
Not what the spiritual man says.
And like I said, that is what
yeah.
the social pressures that the world
yeah.
tries to put upon the church. But
exactly.
the church that and show moral excellence to show that kind of stuff is not permitted in the will of God. It's just not there.
Right.
There was no instance where bumping and grinding or unholiness was in the will of God.
Right.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this ministry as a word has been a blessing to you on today. You can email us at ministry5525@att.net. That is Truth Ministry 5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seed of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So God willing, we'll see you on next time.